More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. Hopefully you had a great 4th of July holiday. 86 right now. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin here on 1320 WILS. Tonight we'll get into the war that continues between President Trump and the media. Cheryl Atkinson will be here, former CBS investigative correspondent. She's got a new book called The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. We'll also talk about seniors having sex. Apparently it's happening a lot, and it's not being done safely. We'll hear from one of the country's top experts on that topic. But let's begin, though, with North Korea. Yesterday, they gave us a 4th of July present by launching off an intercontinental ballistic missile. Dean Chang is with us, senior research fellow at the Asian Studies Center, Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, a man that knows China and North Korea like very few do in this country. Hey, Dean, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and what was that? Did they do that on purpose, you think, launch this missile yesterday?
They seem to have. They apparently sent a message along the lines of, hey, you guys need some fireworks? Here's some fireworks.
Right. Now, is this missile a bigger deal than all their other missile tests?
This is, I believe, the first time they've formally said that it was an ICBM. The thing is that in the past they have done a space launch vehicle, and for your listeners who remember all the way back to Sputnik, the reason Sputnik was worrisome wasn't because it had a little satellite that went beep, beep, beep. It was because it demonstrated that the Soviets could deliver a payload to anywhere in the United States. So this is the North Koreans saying, hey, before we had something we're going to call a space launch vehicle, now we're not even going to pretend. It's an ICBM.
Okay. And in your view, how realistic is it that North Korea is setting up to be a threat of dropping nuclear weapon on us here in the U.S.?
This has been something they have said repeatedly that they want to do. They have devoted a lot of resources to it. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a country where 10% of the population starved to death. So anything that it produces, it comes at the cost of literally dead North Koreans. So when somebody keeps saying, I'm going to try and kill you, and I'm willing to kill off my own people to do it, I take that very seriously.
What is it they think we're going to end up doing if they continue down this path?
Well, I think with some previous administrations, they were betting that we'd back down. And the worrisome thing here is that another thing that the North Koreans have said that they wanted to do since 1950 is unify the Korean Peninsula. Mm-hmm. So the worrisome part here is, do they think that if they can threaten credibly to put a nuke on Ann Arbor, on Lansing, on Chicago, on New York, mm-hmm. that we're going to have a president who's going to say, you know what, South Korea is not worth it.
As in, we're just pulling out, we're pulling the troops out of South Korea.
Maybe we'll pull the troops out of South Korea. Maybe we're willing to fight, but we're not willing to go all the way.
Mm-hmm. And now, what kind of military confrontation would this really look like if we were to try to stop them?
Well, this is part of the problem of trying to stop them. Seoul, the capital of South Korea, its largest city, is within easy artillery range of North Korea. It is sitting pretty much on the border. So anything we do, if we try to take out the North Korean test stands, if we try to hit the Yongbyon nuclear complex, opens a very real possibility that North Korea will, with conventional missiles and conventional artillery, mm-hmm. just start pounding away at Seoul and killing thousands of South Korean civilians.
Okay, so would the South Koreans prefer we do nothing then?
The South Koreans are mixed. They've got a new president. The previous president was really a tough-as-nails woman. She was basically, you know what? You hit me, I'm going to hit you back twice as hard. Mm-hmm. This new one has made comments that maybe he wants to open up trade, he wants to reduce sanctions, he wants to invest in North Korea. Unfortunately, these policies were tried in the 90s and early 2000s, and they did not work.
Mm-hmm. Dean Chang with us with the Heritage Foundation. So we've seen these tests go on and on. At what point do you think we really need to take action if we're going to do anything?
Well, the good news is we actually are taking some action. Believe it or not, North Korea, until about 2 months ago, we had more sanctions on Zimbabwe than we did on North Korea. This administration, love them or hate them, has actually put the screws to North Korea with regards to finance. There are now no North Korean banks that can do international trade, and now we are cracking down on Chinese banks that do business with North Korea. And, of course, North Korea needs to go through somebody, mostly China, to have any kind of financial transaction.
And the real impact of that is going to be what, then, as we continue this cracking down on the banking?
Well, one thing that happens is North Korea has greater difficulty getting whatever money it has into play. But the other thing is that a lot of those bank accounts aren't in the name of the government of North Korea. They're in the name of Kim Jong-un or other members of the Kim family. So now we are hitting him in his pocketbook. He may not care about starving 10% of his population to death, but you can be sure that he cares if his money suddenly can't be moved at all.
Mm-hmm. Do they want to have a military confrontation of some kind?
That's a really tough question. A military confrontation allows Kim Jong-un to posture like, I am the great successor. But at the same time, he's been paying a lot of attention to the various other wars. He knows that a war with the United States will probably not end well for him either.
Yeah, it'd be the end of his regime, right, essentially.
You'd hope so, but I'll tell you that, like I said, I think looking at some previous administrations, they've wondered whether they might be able to get away with it.
Hmm. What can China really do? I mean, we hear that we need to put pressure on China. How much power do they really have here?
North Korea gets most of its food, most of its energy from China. The problem is China looks at North Korea's nuclear weapons and it's not worried about them because they know that North Korea's nukes aren't aimed at China. They're aimed at South Korea, Japan, and the United States. What China is afraid of is a North Korean collapse that would have millions of refugees streaming into China. So we've got this fundamental mismatch. The Chinese don't want to see North Korea go away for a lot of reasons, and they're not willing to put the maximum pressure, which they could do. And conversely, we want China to really, clamp down on North Korea because we are worried about their nukes.
It seems like is this a no-win situation then?
It's not quite no-win. What we are now doing, I think, is trying to say to the Chinese, okay, here's the deal. You do billions of dollars of trade with the rest of the world, us, the Japanese, the Europeans. You do millions of dollars of trade with North Korea. Which one matters more to you? Your choice.
Okay, so if China cuts North Korea off, what does that mean? Could that agitate them even more, though?
Yep. We're all kind of hoping that this makes North Korea sort of say, maybe I can get something for my nukes and sort of put them away in the back drawer or somewhere. Mm-hmm. It could be, however, that this just leads Kim Jong-un, who is young and relatively inexperienced, to say, you know what? Today's the day. Time to go south.
Do you think Kim Jong-un feels that the entire system they have is on the line here when he's confronting us? Or what's his assessment?
That's the great irony, is that North Korea really has made holding a pair of threes into a powerful hand. They basically said to the Chinese, I'm so weak, if you push me just a little too hard, I could collapse. But the reality is that North Korea is not in good shape, hasn't been for years. So, yeah, anything really that clamped down on North Korea could lead to that pressure cooker going off.
The way the news is being reported, it sounds like we're on the precipice of within weeks even, of some major thing occurring here. How close are we?
Well, the president went to the UN this afternoon, asked for an emergency meeting to discuss North Korea. That's not a typical move. We've been deploying forces. We've publicized that we've got, B-2s and other things nearby. At the same time, North Korea just keeps ratcheting up. It has conducted more missile tests in the last year than Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, did throughout his entire time in office.
Wait, what's the urgency on their end? Why are they behaving this way now?
I think it's a couple of things. I think, one, they really want to have a nuclear capability that could threaten the United States in the belief that they can deter us from threatening them. Two, they've got, a new South Korean president who seems a little softer, and they've done nothing to mollify, nothing to be nice to him. In fact, they've ramped up the pressure, so they may think that this is their best opportunity to really force Seoul to knuckle down. And third is the possibility that there's internal pressures that we're just not seeing, because North Korea is truly the hermit kingdom. Almost nobody goes in, and poor Otto warm beer is evidence that even if you go in, you may not come out.
The chances of some internal overthrow occurring, what are those?
Very low, we think, but... and this is a guy who executed his uncle, has had other top leaders put to death by using anti-aircraft guns and mortars on them. No simple firing squad here. But that's also taken as a sign that this guy's got insecurities. Mm-hmm. So, again, we have so little insight into the situation in North Korea.
No, not very comforting. Dean Chang, Senior Research Fellow at the Asian Studies Center, Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Dean, it's been insightful. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.